At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker is Gary M. from the Right to Recover group of Narcotics Anonymous.
My name is Gary. I'm an addict. Now, can we have a moment of silence here just to reflect why we're here? Thank you. You know, humility for me started the very first day I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And I looked at my first step. That's when I very first started to become humble. And as I went through those steps and found out more and more about myself, you know, developing my contact with a higher power, you know, a belief, turning that will over, doing a four-step in that, and starting to find out stuff about myself that I didn't like. You know, and then sharing that with somebody, and that stuff, all of that stuff has been lessons in humbling myself. You know, and as I continued to humble myself, my faith continued to grow in my higher power. You know, and my higher power has been very, very instrumental in my recovery. You know. It says in the seventh step, you know, by admitting our powerlessness, we catch a glimpse of humility. Just a glimpse. Because, see, we don't know what's inside until we start dissecting it, going into your inventories and that stuff, and finding out the exact nature of what we did to ourselves. And it ain't even so much everybody else, it's what we did to ourselves is what, you know, is what we need to get in touch with. You know, so when we do that, you know, it says, you know, humility is a lot with getting honest. Honesty is one of our spiritual principles. And with that being a spiritual principle, the honesty that we have to expel is the honesty towards ourselves. You know, so when we get up to this step, we find out our character defects and all that stuff, we have to ask to have our shortcomings removed. We have to humbly ask. We have to surrender in front of that God again, in front of our HP, and ask Him to remove these shortcomings. You know, the main objective of Step 7 is to get out of ourselves and strive to become okay with ourselves, which is something we haven't been able to do up to this point. You know, because we need to be okay with ourselves so we can move forward. And the only way we can move forward is by being okay with ourselves and allowing ourselves to be human. Because it talks about in this step about being human. Now, when I left this morning, my intent was not to get here right when I got up here to speak, but that's quite all right. We got sidetracked. You know, the word humble applies because we approach this power greater than ourselves. I'm going to read a couple of things out of the book that I use. Greater than ourselves, it asks for freedom to live without limitations of our past. Those limitations of our past is the guilt that we put on ourselves, the shame we put on ourselves, the remorse, and that stuff. And we have to get rid of that, because we got to get rid of the things that give us that. Because all these steps do is give us an awareness of stuff that's going on in ourselves. And what we have to do is get in touch with it so we can get rid of it. Because what we get rid of is the participation in it. And that's just for myself. My shortcomings don't necessarily are removed. What it actually is removed is my willingness to participate in them, because I don't like the consequences that are attached to them. You know, it's those consequences, you know, that get me all jacked up in the head and back into myself to where I look for outs. I look for ways out, ways to get out of that, you know. And one of those ways was actually using, and that to cover up those feelings, because everything has been about feelings. Well, I'm supposed to talk a little bit about the seventh tradition, you know, but before I do that, you know, there's always going to be room for growth in our recovery, no matter how long you've been here, because our text tells us we have to remain teachable. You know, so what that tells me is that we have to leave room for growth. And how we leave room for growth is by getting rid of our egos and think that we have it going on. Now, not a lot of people will admit that they have an ego. Not a lot of people will admit that they have it going on. But if you want to see that happen, go to a service meeting. You know? Go to a service meeting, and all of the people that think they got it going on will tell you exactly what you need to do. You know? And that, you know, that's not being humble. Humble for me is being a servant of my higher power. That's being humble. Not being a slave to my disease. No, it's being humble to my, it's being a servant to my higher power. Now, the seventh tradition, that's about gratitude. Gratitude for me is, you know, all my life I wanted people to pay my way. I strive to do that. Whether you paid my way knowingly or unknowingly. Most of the time it was unknowingly because I took from you. You know, and today, you know, I have to pay that back. You know? Part of my seventh tradition is based out of my amends process. You know, then I'm grateful to this Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and then I start paying my own way. So when that basket comes around, I put money in it. But I also give time of myself. You know, I do both. It says, you know, I talked a little bit in that tradition about some people paying more than what they should. They talked about outside donations and that stuff. And those are not for Narcotics Anonymous. No. Well, I don't want to get into politics and that stuff, so I won't go on the money matters thing or anything. Because I'm very opinionated about that. But, you know, I believe that we need to pay our own way. We need to step up and take responsibility. Because this whole process is about being responsible. Becoming responsible, productive members of society. And being responsible and productive means that we pay our own way. We don't try to piggyback ride on somebody else, whether it be another fellowship, whether it be another group, whether it be a facility. You know, we're our own entity, and we need to remain that entity, free from outside influence. You know, so we need to pay our way. So when that basket comes around, it doesn't matter how much you put in it. You give what you can give. You know, that helps us better carry the message to Narcotics Anonymous, this message of hope that we have, to the still suffering addict. You know, whether it be by keeping a meeting open or by forwarding that money to H&I or PI. You know, or for the purchase of literature to put in any of those places. You know? Unfortunately, that stuff's not free. You know? Which I have an opinion on that, too. If you want to hear about it, see me after the meeting. But, you know, having to pay our own way, it allows us to feel better about ourselves. It gives us a sense of purpose. And I know it does for me. It gives me a sense of purpose. And that's pretty much about all I have to share on that.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. And at this time, we can introduce our second speaker, and that is Brandon C.
Hi, I'm Brandon, I'm an
addict.
Can we just reopen real quick just to invite my higher power in and yours as well? All right. I don't know. When I was first asked to speak on this topic, I was actually kind of surprised that anybody on the committee thought that I'd worked this far into the steps. I was like, what about me gives off the fact that I've worked on any defects? Because it seems like I had been on like the sixth step with like the greater awareness for like a couple years now. Because like I'll go so far, then my sponsor will put me back. I'll go so far, and it just seems like I've been on like the sixth step with this heightened sense of awareness and like living in these defects for a while now. And it wasn't until I told my sponsor, like, hey, we need to get moving on this step work. I'm supposed to be speaking on this. We need to go over pretty quick. So it wasn't actually until this summer here that I actually went over the seventh step with my sponsor. And you know what I mean? Every time I go over a step with my sponsor, it reaffirms to me like why sponsorship is so important. Because like me on my own, like I only get about like half of what I get out of the step just by myself. And like going over it with my sponsor, I get that other half. Because like sometimes like with these, I refer to like this step as like kind of like an abstract step. I can overcomplicate them. Sometimes I'll try to find fault. I'll get real cynical. But to me, it seemed kind of like abstract, that like I'm going to pray to this higher power, and like this cosmic force is going to kind of like wipe the slate clean and like banish these resentments. And you know what I mean? So I started to find fault in that. I'm like, you know, like, okay, I'm humbly asking this higher power, like day in, day out, you know, with like fancy prayers or like, you know, just sometimes conversation or, you know, any way I can, I'm trying to find ways to ask this higher power, yet I still see that it's still there. It's still there and available for me to act upon. And I started, you know, like having my doubts. Like it talks in the step working guide, like have you grown impatient with the removal process? And that's where like the faith comes in too. But like I said, I started to like have my doubts about like this cosmic force was just going to like kind of like wipe the slate clean. Like I thought of, made me think back to that movie like Men in Black, where they shine that flashing thing in your face and poof, it's just gone. And so like I expressed that with like my sponsor, and like we talked about it, and like you know, like reaffirmed that like, oh, you're not like way out in left field. Like he shared his experience with it. And I don't know, we both kind of viewed it as almost, you know, not purely symbolic in nature, but somewhat symbolic in nature, like the humbly asking my higher power. Like, I don't expect him to, him of himself entirely, to rid me of these defects. I believe it, I still play a part in that. That's one part, like, I've struggled in the past. Like, I thought that I could just carry on and keep acting any way I can, and just use my higher power hasn't removed it yet as an excuse. Like today, like instead of just putting it entirely in his hands and just kind of acting as if and doing whatever, like I view that the humbly asking is symbolic in nature, and the fact that like, look, I'm not going to do it by myself. Like the strength in order to not compulsively act out on those stuff is purely from my higher power. Me alone is still a jerk, still likes to steal, still is real insecure, is real fearful, you know, procrastination. Like I said, I may have not have gone over this step for I don't know how long, but we went over it like last week because I had to speak on it. And, you know, procrastination, laziness, all that stuff, like me, of myself, like it's totally out of the question. Where I humbly have to ask God is, you know, like my higher power working through me. Like my higher power isn't like, if I, like in any other situation, like, you know, like if I'm having like a rough time at school or whatever, and I'm praying for my higher power's help, like, you know, I'm not just going to give like proof, like here's the higher power, I'm working on some homework, he's working on some homework, and together we get all this homework done. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen for that. So like I have to remember, like when it comes to like written defects, it's like my higher power working through me. I'm just like not stepping aside and letting him do his stuff and me do me. And that kind of like simplified things, because like I said, when I get to like some of this abstract stuff, and it could be like a fear thing, like I'll try to find like faults with the steps, like loopholes, and then I'm like in my head like trying to like edit all the steps. I'm like, well, if I find like this thing I don't really agree with here, like I wonder, is there stuff that's messed up in the other steps? But that's where like faith comes in for me too, because like. Like, I realized that, like, I don't know everything, and sometimes, like, I remember earlier on in recovery, like the third step was, like, a giant leap of faith for me, and this is kind of like a reaffirmation of that third step leap, you know what I mean? And the third step, I gave my will and my life over to the care of my higher power, to kind of, like, expound on that some with, like, the seventh step, you know, now I'm like admitting I'm powerless over these character defects, and now I'm turning like that and even more over to my higher power. It's like a greater extension of my faith, a greater extension of my powerlessness. And, you know, I could see how, like the domino effect almost, to how each of the previous steps like helped me into that, you know what I mean? My sponsor would always tell me, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not interested in just hearing like a four-step confessional. You know what I mean? And that was good for me because, like, all around my area, I heard about, like, all this four-step stuff, rough, this and that. And, you know, for, like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't, like, the most hardcore addict. I didn't have all these earth-shattering things to share. You know what I mean? And my sponsor shared some stuff back to make me feel that I wasn't so alone. You know, I'm not unique. And, you know what? We identified those behaviors, those patterns, and, you know, with those patterns, we're able to see, like, the defects behind them. And, like I said, that stuff, like, I had to do with my sponsor, because just taking a look at that stuff myself, I'd see, like, wow, I'm just, like, an asshole. You know what I mean? I cheat on women, I steal, I lie, I do all this and that. But instead of just looking at, like, the surface action and stuff, like, with the help of my sponsor and a higher power, we're able to, like, you know, instead of just surface level stuff, like come a little bit deeper and find like those stuff that like, not just like before, like when I was actively using, because like that stuff was real easy to be able to talk about and stuff like that. You know what I mean? For the most part, I didn't really feel bad for any of the stuff unless I got caught for it. You know what I mean? So that shit was real easy to talk about. It was the stuff that I was continually doing clean. You know what I mean? Like I didn't start cheating on girlfriends until I got clean. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't start substituting, acting out on different ways until the drugs were gone. And, you know, that was, like, the painful stuff that I didn't really want to take a look at. You know what I mean? Take a look at, like, my part. But, and, you know, for a while, like I said, I really didn't. Like, I feel like I've been on this step for 2 years. It may have been more than that. But the thing that, like, really, like, summed it up for me, got me a little bit more motivated in you know, like, moving on and actually putting in some work was, I think, just, like, a conversation with my sponsor. It was, like, where do you see yourself now? And, like, where do you see, like, the person you want to be? And, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, if I just had the money to do this, or if I had the capabilities to do that. It was, like, I am what's in my way becoming like that better person, you know what I mean? It's fear, a lot of it's fear, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't liked my job since I started there, but I've been there for a while, but yet, like, you know, now I got some time in and I'm afraid to go somewhere else. I went back to school and I graduated. I have not put in a single application, you know, based on that. I talked about going back to school for years, and you know what I mean? And it wasn't until, like I'm sitting, like, feeling, like, so alone, like, seeing, like, all my, like, my friends are going back to school. They have families. They got careers. They got real jobs. And, like, I told my sponsor, like, I feel like I'm getting left behind. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I got a little bit of time clean, and I'm, like, sitting, like, just right at home, with all the unmanageability, hanging out with all the newcomers, feeling right at home. And he's thinking, well, what's going on? And that's where we're identified. It's like me and my character defects are what's in the way of me becoming that person I want to. It's not any restrictions that were put on me. It's me. It's my fear that I'm staying stuck with just where I'm at. And, you know, something like I've heard, like when the pain of staying the same outweighs the fear of change, then you will. And, you know, that's kind of like what's been going on. Like, I finally got off my ass and I put in an application to get out of where I'm working. I started back to school. And, like, the things are slowly getting there. I'm slowly starting to do stuff. Because for a while, like, I didn't even like myself enough to do stuff for me. Like, I'd do some stuff. Like, I'd try to change a little bit. Like if maybe I had a girlfriend or if I was, like, trying to... Because, like I said, like... Look, if it's just going to be me, I don't care. For a while, it's like, if it's just me, I'll make minimum wage and be miserable. You know what I mean? I don't like myself that much. But, you know, if I got this girlfriend and, like, she's got some clothes she wants to buy and, like, you know, she's got some things she wants, like, okay, I'll try to better myself because I want her to stick around. But it wasn't until, like, I was able to kind of, like, want this for myself and that, like I said, that pain getting great enough that I was able to take a step in faith. Because, like I said, I still have my fear. I still have my doubt. But I don't know. That's kind of what the seventh step has been for me. And as far as, like, the seventh tradition, you know, obviously, like, the first thing that came to mind was, you know, it was, like, money. You know what I mean? And that came to mind real quick. Like, when we passed the basket, you know, fully self-supporting. And, like, for me, that's, like, a reflection of, like, our new way of life. You know, not only do we want to stand on our own two feet and not accept, like, outside contributions, you know, like, we insist on it. And, like I said, I think that really reflects, like, our new way of living. Because, you know, like, when I was out there, like Gary said, it was just about take. You know what I mean? You know, but now we come in here. And it's about, like, I find, like, some integrity in this step, you know what I mean? You know, like, I've seen some meetings, like, struggle, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, not every meeting needs coffee, donuts, and cookies, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's some meetings it's just been a basic text and 3-4 people. And that's fine, too. But another thing, like I read in like, the how and why, because I had to, like, brush up on it. I wanted to be real sharp for speaking and everything, so I had to read it. I'll just look at it real quick. The group will also want to examine its identity as a group. When we were using, most of us looked out for ourselves and ourselves alone, not giving any thought for one another's welfare. An NA recovery group, on the other hand, is founded on its members' commitments to one another. Many have tried to find a way of making it on our own, but without success. We found we need each other to survive and to grow. The NA group is both the expression and the fulfillment of that need we have for one another's support. And, I don't know, I got a lot out of that statement there, because, like, I'd heard one speaker speaking on, like, the seventh tradition, and I didn't stick around for the whole thing. A phone rang or something, but, like, they started out, and, like, they were really pissed off that, like, the seventh tradition is not just about money, and they're, like, pounding, and they're pissed. It seemed like it anyway. And, like, I didn't get to stick around to hear what the big commotion was about, but, like, it wasn't until, like, reading on that, you know, there is more to that than just, like, when we pass the basket. Another thing it talked about in there that really stuck out is not only strictly financially to be fully self-supporting, like, everything we need to carry the message of recovery, to carry out our primary purpose, should come from within.
Right.
And that talks about, you know, not just the giving of a dollar in the basket, but giving of the home group's time, coming early to setting up the meeting, the commitment, that the newcomer knows that that meeting is going to be open every week at this time. I always have somewhere to go every week where I can share, somewhere where I'm going to be safe for, you know, just that hour. And to me, sometimes that means more than just a dollar, because I don't know if I give a dollar at every meeting, you know what I mean? But I know at my home group, I show up every week. I try to, you know, greet the newcomer. You know, sometimes I'll do the coffee, sometimes whatever. But to me, that's like just as much important. You know, not only that we provide within ourselves financially, but, you know, everything we need to recover, we can find here. You know what I mean? We don't have to be pulling outside sources to deal with this issue or that issue. You know what I mean? We have people in here that have professions and stuff, and like anything that I've needed, whether it be, you know, like some legal advice, like help with school, stuff like that, like pretty much like anything I need, I found here.
That's right.
And you know, that's a beautiful thing, to be able to like stand on our own two feet and fully recover, and to be able to go back out into the real world and be a fully responsible, productive member of society. And you know, that was some of the stuff I got out of the seventh step on top, which is the financial aspect of it. But I think that's all I got.
I'd like to again thank Gary and Brad.